it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A fair amount of serious topics this hour, and then we're moving Matt Collar to today because as I mentioned last hour, Patrick Roycey turns 80 on Friday, and we're going to bring Patrick in. He's coming in the 2 o'clock hour. He might just have to stick around then for Am I Wrong, right?
I won't be here. Although, you're making me regret taking the day off now. I'd love to be here on Friday.
Tubbsy will be great, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I think because it's Patrick's 80th birthday, you should come back.
Well, Patrick, remember, he joined us for Am I Wrong at the fair this year.
Did, and he was very good.
Excellent.
Come on back. It's Patrick's 80th.
Hmm.
Give it a thought.
See what I can do.
Give it a thought.
See what we can do.
How far are we willing to go? That is my question. And I'm talking about Hamas, Israel, because we could have talked about this yesterday, right? Hamas not sending the number of deceased hostages back. Report today, one of the bodies is not an individual who was involved.
It just got bodies everywhere. You get them mixed up.
That's the thing with that. That's a reminder of how gross and disgusting Hamas is. Let's just kill this guy and we'll send him back.
It's fine.
Or they just have other dead bodies laying around. Okay. Then they're killing people in squares again.
Yeah. Full public view. Let's just have an execution.
Full public view. The president, as we were talking with Arena, because he meets with the media constantly, in one of his sessions yesterday, said, first of all, he said, Hamas told me directly, I think was the quote, that they will disarm. I think that was kind of startling. Did the president really talk directly with Hamas, or was it more the Qataris and others who were speaking to Hamas? But they told me they will disarm. And then he reiterated, if they won't disarm, we will disarm them. What does we mean? Does that mean Israel will start right away? Does that mean we would join the battle? Tom Friedman, I'm going to quote Tom's latest column. Tom was on with us on Monday. I think provided tremendous insight, as always. You can podcast that show, Chad Hartman Show. Tom was resolute in saying this just isn't going to start up again for a while. When I asked how what are we talking? What do you think, Tom? Day, a week, a month? And he said this is the worst battle he's witnessed between Israel and the Palestinians. And that's what he's told us on Monday. He saw no path where this was going to start up again, which pretty much floored me, because it's Hamas and they're willing to kill anybody. And Bibi, maybe his best path to stay in power is to continue to fight Hamas. So how far are we willing to go? I'd be curious. 651-461-9226. And as I said to Dan Hopkins yesterday, we led the show three separate times, giving Donald Trump credit. And then with Major Garrett and Tom Friedman, but as good a guess as you can get, right away went with how much credit does the president deserve? Tom Friedman says, doesn't happen without Donald Trump. I think he said Donald Trump's the only one who could get this done. Major was the same way. So the flattering of Trump in this has been enormous on this show. And by the way, for the lefties who are like, well, what about this and that and this and that? You're allowed to praise in one area and criticize another, in others. Why is that so tough for so many people?
It's where we are today.
It is where we are.
Fully on board or get out of here.
Yeah. You're the most brilliant one ever, or you're the worst one ever. But how far, 651, 461, are we willing to go? Part of what Friedman wrote today, again, in praising the president, but saying, dig in there. I see no U.S. resolution on the table creating an Arab international peacekeeping force oversee Hamas's disarmament and security in Gaza until proper Palestinian security force can be created. I see no money on the table for the billions that will be needed for reconstruction. I have no idea who's supposed to be appointed and manage the cabinet of the Palestinian technocrats who are supposed to run Gaza instead of Hamas, which is already using its interior ministry and police forces to reassert control in Gaza. That was my whole point, too. I don't believe Gaza. When they open up their mouth, I don't believe them. And the idea that they're just going to disarm and give up leadership, is that really what's going on right now? No, it's not. They're killing people in public squares. They're not returning the number of bodies they said they would. They're sending different bodies back. So, again, I'm not backing away from my credit for the president of the United States in this area. But, Dave, if Hamas continues to be Hamas and Netanyahu continues to be Netanyahu in ways where people think he could be more surgical and it's a bludgeon over and over again, is the president going to say, what more can I do? And again, I'm not overreacting to 2 days. I don't think anybody thought this was going to be smooth and they were going to having each other over for dinner. And it was going to be great. But if you're someone who believes the president should be involved in this, and you're someone who's giving the president a great deal of credit for getting this done, I'm in that category. What are we going to do if over the next week or two there is continued defiance? Because one thing you say, we will disarm them. I think he just means the we being America's support of Israel, right? Isn't that your guess?
Yes.
So let's just play out a hypothetical scenario, which is not that hypothetical. Hamas keeps playing games on living up to their commitment. And Israel at some point keeps, well, then we're not going to send as much relief. Or we're going to go further. How involved does the president have to be? Because he, at for some level, did end the war. I mean, literally, it ended. I'm just saying, for to feel like it's completely over, don't we have to see weeks and months, right? But does he jump back in full? What are your instincts saying this, Dave? Because I think it's a very difficult call. None of it was easy. I don't want to hint anyway anything was easy. But the harder part is finding a way for forcing new leadership in Gaza, forcing Netanyahu to recognize that leadership in Gaza, getting the, I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars necessary to rebuild. And as the president, who seemingly is involved in everything, including, I mean, dramatically changing the Rose Garden. You know, he's involved. Is he going to really dig deep? And by the way, does he have an? We still don't have a national security advisor. We got little Marco doing both. Let's just pause it. How far through a text or two? And we're going to get to multiple other topics this hour. But how far do you think the president of the United States has to go, or how involved does he need to stay if more of this elevates? And I want to say tit for tat, because when you're not sending the bodies back, and when you're sending the wrong body back, and then you're denying food and medical supplies for the folks involved, that's nothing but very significant. How far Will the president get? How far should he get? Because we also know when you have conflicts that seemingly never end, that if you're the present occupant or past occupants of the White House, you can get dug deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes no matter what you do, it doesn't work. And then that's also on your watch, just like the credit should be on his watch right now. 651-461-9226.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the texts coming in at 651-461-9226, kind of like this.
It's not bad.
Who we got here?
Mount Joy. Not familiar with him until about 2 hours ago.
Mount Joy. I like the beat. I like the voice, too.
The tune is called Lucy.
Lucy. All for I Love Lucy, which debuted 74 years ago today. Text in on the Harrigan Hotline. How far are you expecting the president and the country to go in significant progress continuing to happen in the much-discussed and much-celebrated Israel-Hamas end of fighting and releasing of hostages? Hey, Chad, I guess I will give the president some credit for being the first sexual predator to broker a pseudo peace deal. There we go.
Unclear how that texter feels.
I can't,
today.
I can't tell. That's it. It's like it's somewhat similar to this group of Republicans who are just saying the filth comments in a chat that's come out.
The young Republicans.
Yeah,
you know?
Gross references to blacks, comments praising Hitler. I mean, just disgusting.
Yeah, terrible.
Okay. J.D. Vance calls this pearl clutching. And then he brings up the individual running to be the eternal general in Virginia who said some awful, just vile comments.
Sure did.
Wanting children dead of elected official on the other side of the aisle. Awful, awful comments. And so what we have now is we have the game now where if these young Republicans say this, and the Republicans are better at this than the Democrats, by the way. But if the young Republicans say, then it turns into, well, look what Republicans say.
That's the GOP right there, every single one of them.
That's the GOP.
No, it's been that way for decades now, right? Exactly. Anytime some congressperson steps in it, whatever they do, it's, see, typical Dem or typical righty.
They're all.
Yes.
It's the same thing with James is his last name, right? The guy out of Virginia. I mean, despicable, indefensible comments, disqualifying comments for me. I'm out if I'm a voter. Not even close. But then it's, there you go. This is who the Democrats are.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, that guy's awful, or these guys in the young Republicans are awful. But nuance died in this country politically. For sure, with the escalator ride in 2015.
I'd argue long before that.
It's fair, but Donald has stepped all over nuance, and it's worked beautifully for him. So, again, this is an example. Again, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I think I've made that clear over and over and over again. And when you have the dozens of allegations of sexual abuse about him to say they all were coordinated. How are they all coordinated in the 70s and 80s? people had the foresight, Dave, to realize in the 70s and 80s he was going to run as a Republican. And so this is how a lot of people feel. No matter if anything positive happens and it's someone you adamantly and passionately disagree with, there's no way to praise him without also including a cheap shot, which also might be accurate. We can't separate anymore. Another text. Trump deserves credit in this, but not the absurd bootlicking he's demanding. Well, he always does that every day. So this isn't new about this, is it?
No. Far from it.
Was it yesterday?
Those are the people he hires.
Yes, he hires them. Like, these cabinet meetings are so grotesque when it's just, you're the most amazing man. He called, he did the thing again. So a lot of people are telling me, I'm the greatest president ever. Better than Washington, better than Lincoln. And I think he really believes that. I really do. And then he wants people to kiss that large backside of his with those comments. Continue in the text. It's a ceasefire, not a peace plan. You got to start. It's a 20-point peace plan. And yes, some of those ideas were first formulated by Biden, Blinken, Sullivan, etc. They didn't get it done. Like, if it would have been Trump when this happened, and there's zero proof when he says this wouldn't have happened under my watch, zero proof then, right? If they would have left office and then Harris would have come in, hypothetically, okay? Some of the ideas are going to be shared by others, but everything starts with a ceasefire, right?
Of course.
All of the conflicts that end, not as many as he suggested that he was involved in, of course, start, okay, is this really the end of the end? Sometimes it is. So we got to wait and see. More of the text. The Biden administration negotiated a ceasefire with 150 hostage release, and people just comment on how old he is. Again, you can do both. You can say that Joe Biden, by the way, if you believe in prayer, you believe in good thoughts, when he's going on, he's has radiation now, therapy for his prostate cancer and the concerns about where it might be. Even if you adamantly disagree with him, if you have any speck of decency and normalcy, I hope you're wishing him the best. Just like even if you adamantly disagree with everything that Trump stands for, I hope you wish him good health. That's why I called out Tim Walz and others when for those 4 days he vanished and Democrats, including Walz, were joking about it. I don't find that funny at all. But yeah, 150 some hostages were released under Joe Biden. And those stories were well covered. Come on. Like, all of us were in on it. Like, silly talk shows or Washington Post, New York Times, to start dreaming. There was no coverage on Biden. Give me a break. And when there were ceasefires, those were covered. It didn't have an elaborate peace plan that was signed off at this level. It just didn't. And again, I don't know how long this is going. I'm not as convinced as Tom Friedman. And whenever I disagree with Tom Friedman on the Middle East, I feel like I'm wrong every time. But again, reiterating what he said, this is not going to start up again.
Yeah, but there's hope. I mean, even if you don't buy it, there's still the difference, I think, with ceasefires under the Biden administration.
Yep.
It was, okay, well, we got a ceasefire for a week or two, but obviously it's going to flare back up. With this, it seems like there's at least hope it won't. And that's good. And if it does, I mean, if you're the president and you just named yourself the chair of the peace committee or whatever we're calling it,
mm-hmm.
Kind of tough to just wash your hands of it and walk away. Even, what was it, a month or two we had the comment, they've been fighting for so long, they don't know what the bleep they're fighting about anymore.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're kind of in the middle of it now.
He is in the middle of it now, but he's able to verbally extract himself and then have the sycophants say, well, what else can he do?
Mm-hmm.
Couple more texts. I'd like to know why it's so hard for right-wing media to be consistent. They criticize the hostage prison exchange that occurred under Biden, but they're silent about this lopsided exchange. Oh, there's fraudulence on both sides.
No.
I mean, I know that'll shock you. I know. That'll shock you. Because we just talked about the numbers released. And by the way, when Biden released those, there were a lot of prisoners that were released. When this just happened, there were a lot of prisoners released. But people have just decided, I'm going to brand. And it works. It's better. It's a easier and more successful path in the media right now to just be the far right or far left. It is, because it works. I'd rather be in the part where you're willing to tell the truth, give your opinions, and not just completely change who you are, i.e. Megyn Kelly, because it's worked out brilliantly for her. It has. Megyn Kelly's incredibly smart, incredibly talented. I thought she was great on Fox. I thought she got a raw deal at NBC, but she's now just decided to go complete Team Trump, and it's worked. She's got a huge number of followers. She's got her own serious channel. Do I honestly, by the way, never met her, don't know. Do I believe she's really made this dramatic change? I don't. I personally don't. I think she just saw the way it was working and said, as a very intelligent person, it's better to go this way. And it's worked out well. And there are plenty of people who have done that with Trump feeling like, guess what? He's not going anywhere. I'm not going to have this success without him. Do they call Trump the first sexual predator because what Bill Clinton didn't actually broker in the 90s? I mean, we can go back to Bill in the 90s. We can go back to Bills, you know. Not just Lewinsky, but Paula Jones and all the things about Bill. Not exactly an exemplary human being, to say the least. Let's do this. Groceries and costs. We both saw stories. You saw on food, on restaurants and making adjustments. I saw grocery prices. When you're out right now, and again, I greatly appreciate all the texts on this. Do you believe grocery prices are down? I don't. Do you?
Some areas, yes.
Yeah.
Some, absolutely not.
All right. But in total, this is one area where the president has failed. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on blaming Trump on this one, but it's just a fact. He told us that this would change dramatically. It's not. I want your anecdotal, how it is for you, and if your life has changed for the better or worse. Because I'll give you some data from stories where there are so many items that most of feel like are a part of what we buy at grocery stores where the pricing has not dropped. When it's a part of our lives, whether you're going once a week and you're buying a ton of stuff or you go five times a week, do you feel like grocery prices are going the right way? Because a lot of people still believe the answer is no. What do you want to say about that? Phone call or text 651-461-9226.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another song I really like.
Well, good.
Yeah. Excellent selections.
Fruits of My Labor by Lucinda Williams.
She's great. She's got a lot of really good tunes. I feel like I should have spotted her in concert. It's a pretty good run right now. I saw Riemensteiner has it. I'm sure we'll talk Sir Paul on Friday. But you got Sir Paul Friday. You got Lainey Wilson Saturday. You have Elvis Costello Monday.
Ooh, where's he?
Northrop.
Okay.
And then you got Herbie Hancock a week from today at the Orpheum. Pretty good run.
A lot of the buses were already parked next to or near U.S. Bank for the Apollo show.
Yes. Is he joining us Friday, by any chance?
I won't be here. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, and you think he's overrated, so you really wouldn't push. As Lindsay Peterson pointed out when he walked through the studio, and we appreciate the reminder, recently the person who said, without a doubt, grocery prices haven't come down? Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, the president and tariffs clearly has brought in an enormous amount of money to the federal government, which money coming to the federal government, in theory, great. Because our debt is $37 trillion. We don't even talk about it anymore. But to act like tariffs haven't played a part in prices, that's just a lie. And when he campaigned and all the promises and going to solve this war like this, grocery prices are going to come down like this. No. It's not just not that easy. And then you go hyperbole and all politicians do it. Oh, all politicians do exaggerate. I agree. But last time I checked, today's October 15th. This isn't the first month. This isn't the sixth month. This isn't the seventh month. We're reasonably into this administration. And grocery prices just aren't down in the main. Among the items from a Wall Street Journal story. Noted liberal rag. Over the 12 months ended in August, coffee price increased. Thank God we don't drink coffee. 21%. Ground beef up 13%. Bananas up 7%. Dairy, fruit, vegetables, cereal, all higher. A Albertsons CEO on an earnings call yesterday that says shoppers were choosing smaller package sizes, and they clearly can see that more customers are using coupons. Somebody talks about $2.99 eggs at Quick Trip. They are way down. Eggs is an example where in many areas they are down. And the number one reason for that, bird flu. It's not a factor right now.
Yeah. That said, $2.99 for eggs is still significantly higher than they were just 5-6 years ago. Certainly pre-pandemic.
Yeah. I would also say if you can get 12 eggs, considering the way you can use eggs as a party meals on their own, and you're getting them for $3, I think that's a pretty good deal.
Okay, big inflation.
Yeah.
Started with big inflation. That's good. No, I still buy them. We still eat them all the time.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, everyone's obsessed with protein. It's about as cheap of quality protein
saying.
You're going to find.
Right.
But, I mean, eggs were
okay.
Under $2 not that long ago.
Okay, let's just say the four of you are eating together Saturday. And you're going to make one of your egg sandwich specialties, with that disgusting ciabatta bread.
Oh, knock it off.
God, I hope you've come to your senses on that. All four of you, even if you double up on your eggs, you got four eggs left and, you know, you paid $3 for it.
Sure. I still would rather pay less.
Well, yes, I would too.
Okay, well,
I'd rather have won the Masters.
How's that going to work?
17
for
times by now, and have Hallie and Cindy waiting at home for me, and Jack and Tiger ready to talk golf with me. I just think of all the things when that one's come down. It's, and I love my eggs. I have eggs almost 5-6 days a week.
Yeah, you don't mind paying $20 a carton.
That's it.
Cool.
That's it. I, in fact, am encouraging all of us to pay $1,000 per egg.
You walk up to the cashier, they say $2.99. They say, no, I want to give you $12. Just take it.
Exactly. That's it. They are delusional that they're gone down. Just delusional. I knew Trump was lying about grocery prices before he was elected. Okay. Again, he's one that, you know, occasionally inadvertently bumps into the truth, in my opinion. But when you look at the Inflation Reduction Act, which was one of Biden's most significant accomplishments, and in many ways came back to bite him on inflation, I didn't fault an independent center-left, center-right person who isn't automatically just, I'm voting for the Democrats no matter what, I'm voting for the Republicans no matter what, saying, you know what, maybe Trump's policies are going to be a change from Biden, and we would see some relief sooner. And it hasn't happened because, as he tells us often, my favorite word in the world is tariffs.
And groceries.
No, that's
that old-fashioned
word. That's an old-fashioned word.
It's a beautiful word.
It's not tariffs. I think one time he's around, he goes, it's not love. A lot of people think it'll be love. No, it's tariffs. That's my favorite word. That's again, SNL or not, Donald Trump's favorite word, tariffs. This is Kevin, Elk River. Not exactly groceries, but it's a very good point. Foot-long Subway, drink and cookie Monday was $19.
It's insane.
Okay. By the way, Kevin cruelly adds oatmeal raisin, by the way.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
My God, Kevin. Kevin, I wish it was $50.
You deserve to pay at least $19. You're getting oatmeal raisin.
Kevin, what happened? Do we need to send help, Kevin? Oatmeal raisin.
Do better.
Oh, my. You know what Trump should do? Israel and Hamas, if you don't solve this thing again, you're all forced to eat the worst cookie on the planet, the oatmeal raisin
Airdrop
cookie.
Airdrop nothing but oatmeal raisins.
Exactly. They'll stop fighting instantly. Oh, yes, Chad, the prices of groceries gone up. I volunteered at a local food shelf. Thank you, by the way. Thank you so much. I've seen a huge increase in the number of people who are in need of the food shelf. When, by the way, is our Union Gospel Mission?
Union Gospel Mission is November. Oh, is it the 17th?
Okay.
I think.
So it's coming up not too far away. More texts. A lot of texts coming in. Thank you so much. 651-461-9226, the Harrigan Highline.
November 18th. That was
November
close.
18th. We got it. General hearing. We'll talk a lot about it leading up to it. I'm retired, not poor, but cost conscious, so I note prices carefully. Eggs are cheaper, meat is much higher and less available, and I'm choosing to cut down on meat consumption. Pretty much all packaged goods are more expensive, since the prices go up most every month now. I just feel like when you go there and you're at the counter, almost every time, it's like, really? And it's not like I'm not paying attention, because there are some items I'm getting no matter what, but there are plenty of items where I'm looking every single time, like most of us. But you get to that collective number, and you're like, geez, is it ever going to slow?
Yeah. No, that's how I feel it. It's not item by item. It's when that receipt comes out, and you look at the bottom, and wait, what? That was $50? That was $75? Just this? And it's the same thing when you're dining out now. You know, obviously we know what that's been like for the last several years, but, you know, you get one $15, $18 burger, it's ouch. But then you look at the entire bill for the family of four, woo!
Okay, let's more tax on groceries at that point too, because there's a good Start Human story on that point, on the restaurant scene where people have really liked going out, where if they were going to go to fill in the blank, you know what looks pretty good right now? Chipotle. Chick-fil-A.
That's disappointing, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. That. Yeah, they should go to Popeyes instead. But going, or instead of going to Spoon and Stable, I'm going to Red Cow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And nothing against Red Cow. Red Cow's good food. It is. But you're just, the bottom line, you're not spending as much. And also, with a lot of restaurants, the portions are still so damn big. And they must have, most restaurants, I think, have just made the collective decision that if we provide a smaller meal and lower the price, you're maybe aren't going to go because you're going to go a couple times and say, I'm just not getting as much food.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You'll feel, doesn't matter what you pay at that point, you'll feel you're not getting the value because you don't walk out uncomfortably full or with that you know, the box to go.
Well, I'll say this, and I don't think enough people take their food home. Like, I'm at restaurants. It's not like, you know, I'm not paying attention with, but the number of people who leave a lot of food on the plate, and I know some are going out, going different places, and some food transfers better at home. I don't get why more people don't say, hey, I paid X amount. You gave me enough for my entire family. This is lunch tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just and plenty of people do.
Oh, there's the anti-leftover community. That will never eat anything.
It's a foolish committee, right?
That community is, I don't understand their line of thinking.
I don't. Break up the community. It's 50 past one on the grocery prices and the restaurant situation, and maybe your decision to not go to as many restaurants. What do you want to say? Keep reaching out. Phone calls encouraged also. 651-461-9226. Paul, Coon Rapids, frequent texter. He's in blocking territory. Oatmeal raisins are very good, but nothing beats a good chocolate chip cookie. Chocolate chip cookie's excellent, but oatmeal raisins are very good. Is this possible that Paul, this is a cry for help, and we should reach out to the authorities and give him this number?
He's probably bondaged up right now in need of some sort of
interference. Sounds like a Friday night at your house.
It's Friday night, Saturday night, Tuesday night.
It's just oatmeal raisin cookies.
They're really terrible.
They're just awful. What happened to someone who would like an oatmeal raisin cookie?
And I mean, the worst part is the taste. But close to it is you see that cookie tray from across the room.
Yes, the deception.
And you say, oh, chocolate chip, I like that. And then as you approach, you get closer, you realize, that's a chocolate chip in disguise, my friend. That is a raisin.
Contact Sir Paul and tell him it's Ricey's birthday. That should do the trick. It'd be a heck of a surprise for Patrick if Sir Paul, you know, can you get that done?
I can make a call.
Make a call. Grocery prices up. Must be Joe Biden's fault. Well, didn't Trump a couple months ago say, our stuff's really not going to kick in until 2027?
It's fine. But gas prices, I believe, are 30 cents downtown L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, he was telling us for a while they were under $2 all across the country when no place had them under. And then we've had Gas Buddy Guy on so many times, Patrick DeHaan, to point out that no, presidents aren't oblivious from gas prices, but the power and persuasion is massively, massively overblown. And then the dumbest one of all is when people would post the gas prices for Trump when he left and then compared to Biden a couple of years later. Yeah, no one was leaving their house.
Still accurate.
There's just a minor little supply and demand issue. Chad, I get my eggs from a local farmer, $2 a dozen, and you know they're fresh. Thank you, John. That'd be pretty good, right?
Not bad.
There are people who have relationships with plenty of farms and farmers. Have you guys ever considered that?
We've not.
I think DeRush at one point had something like that.
Of course he did.
Few other friends.
He Instagrammed it.
He did.
Got a kickback.
He did. He's pretty soon, I think he's going to be Instagramming from Greece. This is how I brush my teeth in Greece.
Brought to you by Oral-B.
I was in the wholesale retail world for my career. Retailers set higher price and many paid them. I think some retailers are keeping them high because they can, and consumers are grumbling but pay for it. Hashtag profit. Oh, there's plenty of that out there.
Absolutely it is.
There is plenty of that out there. But just the idea that new ideas, new policies, and getting further away from COVID was going to help us out. Nope. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Oatmeal raisin cookies the best? Ugh. Disgusting. Peanut butter raisin. Who would waste the magic that is peanut butter and include it with a failed grape? Which is a raisin.
Disappointed in our state right now?
I'm disappointed in mankind that anyone likes an oatmeal raisin cookie. I like to eat foods that don't fail in where they're trying to go. Is that a fair assessment?
That's fair. I mean, I would say the same thing about wine. That's just but failed grapes too. I'm not anti-raisin.
Excuse me?
But the the oatmeal raisin cookie combination is just terrible.
It's terrible. Sometimes with four people to feed, I go to three or four different stores. From Crystal Friendly. Yeah. A lot of people are doing that now, right? Where they can save some money. Now then you got to watch how much gas you're spending, how much time, if you really can pull it off. Okay, Collar and a little Viking talk. The beleaguered Eagles. What is going on with Philly? When they were a significant favorite to go back-to-back, they're not anymore. Who's healthy? And what does Collar's spotty sense tell us? Is it J.J. or Carson on Sunday? Collar, coming up.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.